Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, how good it is that we can come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, having been cleansed in his blood, and to rejoice in such a Savior, that perfect mediator between a holy, just, and righteous God, unholy and unjust and fallen man, and how you, the infinite God-man, have brought reconciliation between heaven and earth. How righteousness looked down from heaven, how peace looked up, how they kissed together at the cross. We give you praise and thanks for this good news of the gospel. And we pray tonight that you would come and by the Holy Spirit be at work in our hearts. Pour out upon us the spirit of grace and supplication. Enable us to lay hold of our covenant God and to plead the promises back to you, Lord, to use your own word as the grounds for our pleas and to call upon the holy and righteous name of God, whose ears are always open to the cries of his people and will not give us stones when we ask for bread. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together tonight for the opportunity to once again be in your word and in prayer. We commit this time to you. We pray that you'll meet with us through Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, if you have your copy of an Orthodox catechism or the prayer sheet on the back, you will see that we come tonight to question 66 in the catechism. And if you have the book, it will show that we are winding down to the end of chapter 6, the second part, and which is man's redemption and the sacraments in general. And then in 2 weeks we'll be in question 68, starting the sacraments in particular, that being baptism. And so if you look at question 66, it reads, "Do not then both the word and sacraments tend to that end, to lead our faith to the sacrifice of Christ finished on the cross as the only ground of our salvation?" The answer is, it is even so. The Holy Spirit teaches us by the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that the salvation of all of us stands in the once-for-all sacrifice of Christ offered for us upon the cross. Well, this question obviously builds on the answer from the previous question, question 65, which states that the sacraments were ordained so that God may declare and confirm by them the promise of his gospel unto us, to this that he gives freely remission of sins and life everlasting to everyone, in particular, who believes in the sacrifice of Christ, which he accomplished once for all on the cross. So those final words ought to still be ringing in our ears when we come to question 66, the sacrifice of Christ, accomplished once for all upon the cross, is repeated in the question 66, the sacrifice of Christ finished on the cross. So a slight variation, but you can see the similarities. Note how question 66 attributes a common agency to two related instruments that influence our faith. What are those instruments? Clearly, they are the Word and sacraments. And both the Word and the sacraments are here said to tend to that end, To what end? To the end of leading our faith to the sacrifice of Christ finished on the cross. And now imagine that there are two messengers, and they are named Word and Sacraments. And these two messengers walk up to a girl named Faith, and they both take Faith by the hand, each by one hand, and they lead her to the scene of the cross. We kind of conjure up Pilgrim's Progress analogies and allegories. And there at the cross, these two messengers, Word and Sacrament, show Faith the sacrifice of Christ that he finished on the cross as the only ground of her salvation. Well, that's sort of the picture that is conveyed in the question of question 66 when we read it. But if you look at the answer of question 66, it gives us further information not found in the question that we should consider. And the answer begins with a simple four-word statement. It is even so. And if that was all the answer given to us under question 66, it would certainly be enough. But there's a little more clarification, a little more information here given in this answer, which further expands on the information that is given from the question. First of all, you'll notice we find mention of the Holy Spirit in the answer. The Holy Spirit is the primary mover behind these two messengers of Word and Sacraments. Here we learn that it really is not the Word and the Sacraments who teach us, the Holy Spirit who teaches us. The Holy Spirit teaches us through the use of means, namely the instrument of the Word and Sacraments. And you may have noticed something else that is missing from the answer that was in the question, and that is the term Word itself. And a new word has been substituted in its place. It's the word gospel. So if I were taking notes, I would probably put a bracket right next to gospel and write word inside those brackets. The word gospel is related to the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So to be more precise, the Holy Spirit teaches us the gospel, which means that we must be regularly exposing ourselves to the gospel, which the Holy Spirit will use in our lives to teach us and to instruct us. Yes, believers still need the gospel. We don't move from the gospel after we are converted to something else. No, we want the gospel to stay fresh to us. We don't look to it for salvation, but we can certainly look to it for praise, for gratitude, for sanctification, and for help and guidance. Substituting the word gospel in place of the word makes it appear that the two are synonymous. And there certainly is a lot of overlap, but gospel and the word are not necessarily identical. You can have portions of the word that might be law and not gospel. All gospel is the word, not all of the word necessarily constitutes the gospel. Both certainly are important and inspired. Both are mighty weapons when wielded in the hand of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit teaches the people of God many important truths by the word, but also by the gospel. And one central truth in mind is in mind here, which we'll look at in a minute. But there's another word that you may notice is missing from the answer in 66 that was there in the question, That's the word faith. But when we look at the answer, it's assumed to be present. Faith's presence, its importance, its place is assumed to be there where the word and the sacraments are, or the gospel and the sacraments are active. You cannot actively participate in the sacraments without faith. And the sacraments will strengthen faith. So notice the two specific, the language, the specific language of our answer and the two-pronged ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches us by the gospel, and the Holy Spirit assures us by the sacraments. Teaching by the gospel is directed toward instructing the mind, where assuring by the sacraments seems to be directed more to strengthening the heart. Faith must be active under both the gospel preaching and the administration of the sacraments in order to be effectual in the heart of the believer. And keep in mind here that this word sacraments is in the plural. And that means more than one, and it points us naturally to question 67. What are the sacraments, and or how many are there? And there are two, baptism and the Lord's Supper. So I just fulfilled the requirement for question 67 for next week. You're off, Rob. You know, you try to look at these questions, and you know, we determined to take a slightly different course than the Dutch Reformed to do when they preach through the Heidelberg Catechism according to the 52 Lord's Days of each year, because each Lord's Day will embrace more than one question, and oftentimes there's three, maybe four questions. And there's so much there, and to cover it in a 20-minute prayer service message, all of those questions, we felt was just too much. And so we took a different approach, and we're dealing with one question every Sunday evening so we can give adequate attention to it. And if they're small and simple, that will give us more time to spend in prayer. But, of course, when we look at this and we think of the Heidelberg, we also think of Dr. Zacharias Ursinus, who was one of the primary authors, if not the central author of the Heidelberg. And then he also wrote a commentary, very famous commentary on the Heidelberg Catechism. And he brings out further thoughts. And he mentions that the sacraments have certain things in common with the Word, and then certain things, again, that are different from the Word. So I just want you to kind of think about, how are the sacraments and the Word similar? And then how are they different? Well, they're similar, Ursinus shows, that because both sacraments and Word, or Word and sacraments, both have God for their author. That's pretty obvious. But also God administers and dispenses both the Word and the sacrament by the ministers of the church. He speaks unto us in His Word by His ministers, and by them dispenses the signs which are used in the administration of the sacraments. Of course, there can be exceptions to that rule in terms of gifted brothers, and those who are qualified thereof to administer baptism and the sacraments, but the central idea is through the ministers who have been called by the church. And then both are means through which the Holy Spirit kindles and strengthens faith in us. And so both are the instruments that the Spirit uses to build up our faith, to bolster our faith. The Holy Spirit uses that. There are the two handles on the air pump to inflate the tire of our faith. And then God declares His will in both. He offers the same blessings, the same grace, and the same Christ in both. And nor does He exhibit or confirm anything by the sacraments different from what He promises in His Word. And listen to what Ursinus says. He writes, "Whoever, therefore, seeks anything in the sacraments which God has not promised in His Word, idolizes the sacraments." So you can never unhook the sacraments from the Word and let them run loose. He then shows how the sacraments differ from the Word. They differ according to their nature. Words signify and express certain things according to the appointment of men who may use them arbitrarily. The sacraments, however, signify certain things according to the analogy that exists between the signs and the things that are signified by those signs. We also read and hear words while we receive signs by feeling, seeing, and tasting. I would just simply say the Word is audible and the sacraments are visual. The Word is intangible and the sacraments are tangible. They also differ in their objects because the Word, with its various commands and promises, is to be preached far and wide, indiscriminately, to all men and women without any distinction, to the unregenerate as well as those who are regenerate members of the church. It's to be preached to the former who are unregenerate that they might be converted and that they might exercise faith in Christ, and to the regenerate that their faith may be more and more confirmed. The sacraments, however, on the other hand, and this is Ursinus still speaking, he says they are dispensed only to those who are members of the church, who profess repentance and faith and are designed to preserve and strengthen their faith. He's sounding like a Baptist. Again, he says, the Word is preached to all and everyone at the same time. The sacraments are administered to one at a time. One is baptized after another, and the Lord's Supper is given to one after another. And he says, the Word is that through which the Holy Ghost commences and confirms faith in us, and for this reason should go before the sacraments. And I think that is an important reason, just practically, why we have the Lord's Supper after the sermon. The sacraments are means through which the Holy Ghost confirms faith already called in existence, and for this reason ought to follow the Word. The reason of this difference is that the sacraments do not exert any influence unless they be understood. There must therefore by necessity be some explanation of the sacraments out of the Word before they are observed. Sounds like he's really digging a hole. You wonder, how's he going to get out of this one when it comes to baptism and infants? He goes on, the Word may be without the sacraments. You can preach the Word without having to have a baptism service or a Lord's Supper. As it respects both its public and private exposition, and it may be effectual also independent of the sacraments. As in the case of Cornelius, when Peter went to his home, he preached the Word without the sacraments. The Holy Spirit fell upon those in his household. They were converted. And then came the sacrament of baptism. On the other hand, he mentions the sacraments cannot be without the Word, nor can they have any efficacy independent of the Word. It's the Word that really helps to give meaning, validity to the sacraments. You can have the Word without the sacraments, but you cannot have the sacraments without the Word. And that is why, as well, at our baptism services, there's a time for the Word. We will read certain scriptures, portion from our confession, and a gifted brother or pastor or someone will come and will bring the Word to help put the sacrament in its on its proper foundation and in its biblical context. And finally, Ursina says, the Word is that which is confirmed by the signs which are used. The sacraments are the things by which the Word is confirmed. The Word extends to all, but the sacraments only to such as believe. Oops. So we'll leave Ursinus having painted himself in a corner, wondering how is a man who supports infant baptism going to get back around and kind of contradict what he has said. But both the gospel and the Word and the sacraments and our answer here, if you look at the answer, are they not aimed at the same goal? And that is to teach and assure us that the salvation of all of us stands in the once-for-all sacrifice of Christ offered for us upon the cross. I mean, that is the fulcrum. That is the tip of the spear of that double-edged sword of God's Word. That's a confusion of analogy, spear and double-edged sword. Our salvation does not rest upon our works. It does not rest upon our sacraments. It does not even rest upon our faith. Rather, it stands in the once-for-all sacrifice of Christ offered for us upon the cross. The once-for-all sacrifice of Christ offered for us upon the cross. So let us make sure that is where the ministry of the Word and the sacraments direct our people and direct our own faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your wisdom and guidance in directing us concerning these important instruments in the hand of your Spirit, the Word and the sacraments, the gospel and the sacraments, and how they are designed to help focus our attention on that once-for-all sacrifice of Christ for us on the cross. Oh, may that always be the truth, the very heart and core of the gospel that we hold so close to us. And when other things may be forgotten, may we never forget this central truth upon which our faith is founded, upon which our destiny depends, upon which we find that assurance and that comfort and that growth in our own hearts, Lord. We thank you for meeting with us tonight. Please guide us now as we transition to our time of corporate prayer, for we ask and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.